I will be spending 4 sessions discussing Holy Sabbath with you. I realize that in this class, we have about 180 people. Some of you know a little bit about Holy Sabbath, and some of you know quite a bit about Holy Sabbath. So in order to teach this class, we need to cover from fundamentals. And I see that I have 4 sessions with you. And in the first session, we are going to talk about the origin of Sabbath and also the purposes of the Sabbath. In the beginning, it's more theoretical. But as we go on, it will get more interesting. Also, it will get more practical. So let's turn to our textbook, the page on Holy Sabbath. The first thing that we're going to discuss about is Sabbath, its origin, and also its history. When is Holy Sabbath starts? Have you looked at this text before we start? Yeah? No? Okay. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1. This, the heaven and the earth, and all the hosts of them were finished. Verse 2. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Verse 3. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made. When we talk about Holy Sabbath, first we need to identify what is Sabbath and what is holy. Okay, Sabbath basically means the day of rest. But what does it mean, holy? Can somebody tell me what's holy? Sanctify? Okay. Yes, it means sanctify. But to be more exact, the word in Hebrew, holy means to set apart. Okay, so that sometimes when we read in Old Testament, instead of say holy, Bible said to set apart. Okay, and just like the tithe, every $10 we earn, $1 belongs to God, right? And we set apart that the tenth dollar. And what does it mean to set apart? It means it's for God's use. It belongs to God. So when we say holy, it means that it's set apart. This day is set apart. What? For God. To God. It belongs to God. And so when we talk about Sabbath, this is a day of rest. But what? This is for God. To God. We need to clearly understand the definition first. Because a lot of people feel like, well, the Sabbath, I can do whatever I want. But when God created everything, and then God sanctified this day, God did not mean that we can do whatever we want, even to do works on Sabbath. So this is a holy Sabbath. It's a day that's set apart. It belongs to God. It's for God. Okay? So this is the first meaning. And upon this day, God did 3 things that make us holy. Okay, the first thing that God did is what? God rested. Okay, what does it mean God rested? This is also a lot of people, this in Christendom, many people misinterpret, even Jews sometimes they misinterpret the work, and so therefore they say no work whatsoever, even you cannot comb our hairs. Okay, because they consider that as work. But let's turn to John. Let's turn to John, chapter 5. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 17. John chapter 5, verse 17. Here it says, "But Jesus answered them, 'My Father has been working until now, and I have been working.'" Well, Jesus Christ said to the people, "My Father has been working." That means since the creation of the world until now, the Father, God, has been working. So what does it mean? It seems like when we read this passage, it seems that this contradiction, that in Genesis chapter 2, God said he rested from his work. And then in John chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus Christ said, "Father is still working." Basically, we have to read the context. We understand what he meant, what it meant by, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, God rested from his work. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, okay, we can see that, and also verse 3, that what it means by rested means that God stopped creating things. Okay, the creation had come to a stop. However, it doesn't mean that God does not continue to work to maintain them. Okay, so on Sabbath, God has been very merciful and provide everything for us, sustaining our life and the life of others and animals and plants. So here we can see that God rested, but doesn't mean completely, but in only certain ways. God does not create any more things after that. And the second thing that God did is that he blessed this day. He made this day special. God did not bless the first day. God did not bless the second day. God did not bless all the way to sixth day, but God blessed the seventh day. And the third thing that God did is sanctify. Sanctification, there's two meanings to it. There's two parts to it. One is giving command, saying this day is holy, different from other day. The other thing is, in order to sanctify, to consecrate, one has to abide to certain rule so that you make this day special. Just like God, he rested this day. So he made that day different from other days. Okay? So this is the origin of Sabbath. Okay? And this Sabbath, if we look on throughout history, the Sabbath, somehow after people sinned, depart from God, the Sabbath was not mentioned anymore. And the next time Sabbath was mentioned was in Exodus chapter 16. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16, verse 23. The Sabbath, people stopped, I'm sure that at that time probably people stopped counting, forgot how to count, and which they didn't know which day is the Sabbath. And then God revealed to them which day is the Sabbath. In Exodus chapter 16, verse 23, God said to Israelites, "Then he said to them, 'This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is the Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourself all that remains to be kept until morning.'" So Moses received this revelation. God told him, "Tell the Israelites, tomorrow is the Sabbath day." Okay. And so from that time on, the Israelites started counting the Sabbath, and they knew which day is the seventh day. Okay. And later on, God made this into a commandment. Now let's turn to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. From verse 8 to verse 11. Verse 8. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Verse 9. "6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God." Okay, let's read up here. So God made this as a commandment. In fact, this commandment, this Ten Commandments, is spoken by God's own voice. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 22. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 6, all the way to verse 21 is the Ten Commandments. But in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 22, this is what he says. These words the Lord spoke to all your assembly in the mountain from the midst of the fire, the cloud, and the thick darkness with a loud voice, and he added no more. And he wrote them on the two tablets of stone and gave them to me. Here, Lord the God, Moses said to people that these words the Lord spoke to all your assembly. What are these words referring to? According to context, it's referring to the Ten Commandments. God spoke these Ten Commandments, and God wrote them down by his own hand. So these Ten Commandments are different from the statutes and the regulation that God told Moses. These are God said in his own voice and wrote them down. So we have to understand this is a command. When God spoke these Ten Commandments, what are the reflections of the people? Let's read on, verse 23. So it was when you heard the voice from the midst of the darkness, while the mountain was burning with fire, that you came near to me, all the heads of your tribe and your elders. Verse 24. And you said, surely the Lord our God has shown us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice from the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God speak with men, yet he still live. Verse 25. Now, therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, then we shall die. Verse 26. For who is there of all flesh who has heard the voice of the living God speaking from the midst of the fire as we have and live? Verse 27. You go near and hear all that the Lord our God may say, and tell us all that the Lord our God say to you, and we will hear and do it. Okay. This is the impression when God speak to the people. People feel fear. People were surprised. People were astonished by God's voice. Try to imagine what they heard when God speaks. Yes, they heard the words, but the voice, the majesty, the power, when God speaks to them, you can feel that they realize that if God will continue to say more, they cannot take any more. They feel that they will die because they found from the voice of the Lord, from through his commandment, they realize these Ten Commandments is not meant to be a suggestion. If somebody disobeys, they will lose their lives. They're so fearful. And they say to Moses, Moses, we can't take it anymore. Go ask God what he wants us to do. And you tell us, and we'll believe it, and we'll do it. But don't let God speak to us like that. They can't take it anymore. So we have to understand, these are commandments, not suggestions. And today, we don't have that fear of God sometimes. Oh, so what if I break one of these things? But if we have heard the voice of the Lord, we won't behave like that. Okay, so this is Ten Commandments. God made a Sabbath into the Ten Commandments. Okay, but people really did not care about obeying God's word sometimes, or oftentimes. And when God told them to do this, to keep the Sabbath. And guess what? On Sabbath, people still go out, do whatever they want. Okay? And one time, some people were picking up woods, and they were caught. And God knew people despise, belittle the Sabbath. That's no big deal. It's just a day. I can do whatever I want. And God made a commandment. If somebody disobeys, stone them to death. Okay? So the commandment is not meant to be broken. But however, the Jews did not obey, and they continued to violate. Let's read Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. Verse 21 to 27. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 21. Until the time of Jeremiah, that time is when the Jerusalem destroyed. But before it's destroyed, God gave them this message. It says, "This says the Lord, take heed to yourself and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem." Verse 22. "Nor carry a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, nor do any work, but hallow the Sabbath day as I commanded your fathers." Verse 23. "But they did not obey nor incline their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction." Verse 24. "And it shall be, if you heed me carefully, says the Lord, to bring no burden through the gates of the city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day to do no work in it." Verse 25. "Then shall enter the gates of the city kings and princes sitting on the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes accompanied by the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain forever." Verse 26. "And they shall come from the city of Judah and from the place around Jerusalem and from land of Benjamin and from the lowland, from the mountains and from the south, bringing burnt offering and sacrifice, grain offering, incense, bringing sacrifice of praise to the house of the Lord." Verse 27. "But if you will not heed me to hallow the Sabbath day, such as not carrying a burden when entering the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in its gates, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched." So we can see from the time that God gave commandment until the time of Jeremiah, there's about approximately 700 years. During these 700 years, people continued to disobey God, especially on Sabbath. But however, God did not neglect. God did not say, "Oh, so many people disobey, so majority rule, forget it." No, we can see that God continued to hold fast to his standard, his truth. Okay? And God, in fact, told these people one last time, "If you keep my Sabbath, you will stay and live in this land forever. However, if you do not, then this city will be destroyed." And we can see that God still holds on to it. And he's still bringing people to the judgment if people do not obey. In fact, they did not obey God. In 2 Chronicles, let's see 2 Chronicles chapter 36. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. Second Chronicles chapter 36, verse 21. Second Chronicles chapter 36, verse 21. "To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath, as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. This is God's punishment. Okay? They did not keep the Sabbath since the kingdom of Israel established. Okay? For 490 years. God calculated. Okay? 490 years, they did not keep Sabbath. And so God punished them by sending them to exile for 70 years. And so that the land will rest for 70 years. Because they did not keep the Sabbath. And we can see that God is merciful at first, continue to give people chances to obey. But then when people still refuse to obey, and God reached to his point, then what did God do? Pay back everything. Every day, every Sabbath that they did not keep, that's the day of their punishment. That's the time they will spend outside of the promised land, suffering in the Babylon. So today, brothers and sisters, we need to realize. You say, no problem, I don't keep my Sabbath. I don't see God punishing me. But I can share with you from studying this passage. God counts how many times we did not keep. And if we do not repent, I fear that there will be one day that God will treat us just like God treated these Jews. Every day we miss, and every Sabbath that we miss, there will be a punishment. Okay? But later on, we'll talk about how to keep them. Okay? But we do need to emphasize keeping the Ten Commandments. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. Okay? So this is the origin of Sabbath. So from that time on, when the Israelites, the Jews came back from exile, okay, they still didn't keep the Sabbath quite well. But under the reformation of Nehemiah, they started to keep it. Okay? So this is basically the history of the Sabbath. Let's talk about the purposes of the Holy Sabbath. Why we need to do that? There are reasons God telling us to do so. In fact, God meant Sabbath good for us. But we human beings cannot, sometimes don't understand the purposes. And therefore, that's one reason people do not honor it, keeping it. Let's see the first reasons. Let's look at Exodus chapter 20. Verse 11. Exodus chapter 20, verse 11. Exodus chapter 20, verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the 7th day. Therefore the Lord blessed Sabbath day and hallowed it. We can see how God keeps the Sabbath. He made sure that the 6 days he finished everything, finished all the creation, all the things that he had to do. On the seventh day, there's no more creation. And the reason God mentioned verse 11 is to tell us the reason we keep Sabbath is because we need to spend time to remember what God do for us. It's like a family time. God wants this time of the Sabbath, like everybody, he chosen people gather together to be with him full time, having fellowship with him, listening to his word, praying, doing good things, right? Fellowship with family members. That's God's intention. The state of remembrance, God's creation, all the blessings that he had given to us. The second reason, let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Verse 15. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath. Here tells us the second reason why we keep Sabbath. It's because to remember, besides God's creation, everything, the air, everything, you know, we use, we need to also to remember God's salvation, God's sacrifice for us. Okay? This is the second purpose. Why would God tell us to do so? Because we human beings are very forgetful, honestly. If there's no day that we need to sit down and start thinking, we just say, forget it. You know, who's God? What did God do for me? Who cares? Okay? That leads to us the third reason why we keep the Sabbath. Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 20. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 20. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 20. Hear what God said. Start from verse 19. I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes, keep my judgment, and do them. Verse 20. Hallow my Sabbath, and there will be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. Here, the Lord said, the reason we keep a Sabbath, so that there's a sign. What's the purpose of sign? It's like signing a contract. It's the evidence. There's evidence. We are his people. But if people do not keep the Sabbath, it's like breaking the contract. It's breaking. There's no sign to prove that they are God's chosen people. Okay? And more than that, the second part is, the last part of verse 20, it says that you may know that I am the Lord your God. On the Sabbath, if we do not spend time with God, truly enter into his rest, we will not know God. We will not like really feel that the Lord is God. Of course, we understand the word, the Lord is God. But unless we really make this day our joyful day and really pursue God, we just only acknowledge, yeah, God is the Lord. But then we don't feel in our heart that God indeed is Lord. He's my Lord. Fear him. Love him. And he loves us too. So to keep the Sabbath, to his Sabbath, will make us to know God better. To know God. There's two ways to know God. One way is to keep the Sabbath, which is a day of blessing. Okay, it's an easy way. There's another way to know God. Okay, in Ezekiel. Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 6. There's another way to know God, and it's quite interesting too. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 6, verse 7. Ezekiel chapter 6, verse 7. The slain shall fall in your midst, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Let's also jump to verse 10. And they shall know that I am the Lord. I have not said in vain that I would bring this calamity upon them. Let's jump to verse 13. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when their slain are among their idols, all around their altars, on every high hill, on all the mountaintops, under every green tree, and under every thick oak, wherever they offer sweet incense to all their idols. Here, three times in Ezekiel, at least three times, God said, they will know that I am the Lord. But in that context, it's pretty bad. What does it mean that they will know that God is the Lord? It's when they die, when they're punished, right? When God showed that whose words will stand. And they knew, at that time they knew, really, this is God, the God that who controls everything and controls my fate. The idols that I worship, no use. They are nothing. God is the one who I worship, who I need to fear. But by that time, it's too late. They knew the Lord is God, but it's too late. God punished them. And many of them died too. So there's two ways to know the Lord is God. Which one do we prefer? Let's keep the Sabbath, okay? That's the easier way. So the third reason. So there's a covenant. There's a covenant in the heart. There's a sign in the heart. It's not just simply written somewhere, but in the heart, knowing that he and God and us, there's a sign through the Sabbath. Let's look at the fourth reasons. Hebrew chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. Verse 10, for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his work as God did from his. In chapter 4, let's talk about Sabbath. That the Sabbath actually prefigure the heavenly kingdom that we will go to. And in the end, we need to enter into that rest. The eternal rest we want to go is the heaven. Sabbath is only what? Once a week. God wants us to give us more. God wants to give us every day. But we need to have the believing heart so that we can enter into that rest. And so the Sabbath is, in a way, telling us, prefigure the heaven. Sometimes I hear people telling me, you know what? The reason I want to go to heaven is because I don't want to go to hell. Have you heard that kind of saying? Maybe we sometimes think like that too. I don't want to go to hell, therefore I got to go to heaven. But what's heaven? Some people say, hallelujah, hallelujah, every day. Too boring. Okay? Too burden. I can imagine eternity, go like that. Okay? But when people say that, I can click and say, in my heart I knew, this person has not really enjoyed the Sabbath. On the Sabbath day, he hasn't really entered the Lord's rest, really feel this day is a joyful day. If we have felt this Sabbath is a joyful day, we will love that every day is a Sabbath day. And we would like to go to heaven because heaven will be like the Sabbath day, God's rest. So I don't want to hear any more. People say, I don't want to go to hell because I don't want to hear people saying, I have nowhere else to go. I just don't want to go to hell, so that's why I go to heaven. That's not the right thinking. Okay? And I truly hope that brother and sister can really learn. Later on, we'll talk about how to keep the Sabbath and really make this day a joyful day. And that will strengthen your faith too. You'll realize that, yes, there's a heaven, and that's a place I want to go, for sure. Because on this earth, I experience what's to be like in heaven. But if people haven't experienced that joy, that peace, and the fellowship with the Lord on Sabbath, then honestly, they feel heaven's quite boring. And I tell you, Sabbath is quite boring too for him or for her, because hallelujah, hallelujah every day, okay? So this is the fourth reason. The fifth reason is God will give us blessings. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13. There will be many blessings that God will give it to us. 58, verse 13 and 14. 58, verse 13. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own way, not finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. Verse 14. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Here the Lord promised those people who keep the Sabbath. In verse 14, the Lord will let them ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob. Okay, this is the two blessings that God will give it to us. But let's look at Isaiah chapter 56 and other blessings too. Verse 6. Isaiah chapter 56, verse 6. Also the sons of the foreigner who joined themselves to the Lord, to serve him, to love the name of the Lord, to be his servant, everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and hold fast my covenant, verse 7, even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offering and their sacrifice will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Here we can see the other blessings that will give on the Holy Sabbath is that God will bring them to his true church and to make them abide in the true church and also to make them joyful in the true church. Okay. We have quite a bit, brother and sister, because of seeking to keep the Sabbath day. Okay. They have found true Jesus church. Okay. But something has happened that those people, they have desire to keep Sabbath day. But then when they come to true Jesus church, they found the doctrine is correct. But they found that some people don't keep the Sabbath. They don't know why. How come the truth preached like this, but then how come some people don't obey it? For example, they say that, how come I see some people on Sabbath go to watch movie, okay? And do certain things like, as if there's no Sabbath, or maybe just Sabbath hour. Sabbath is whole day. And as a youth, brother, sister, we need to really examine ourselves. There are people really like this, Isaiah chapter 56, verse 6. Those people really want to keep the Sabbath, not define the Sabbath. And they truly, God bring them to church. But I see that sometimes don't really set a good example for others. And they started to doubt, hey, am I keeping the right Sabbath? Am I coming to the true church? How come some people don't do so? Do you see the problem? So, of course, we'll keep the Sabbath under grace, but it doesn't mean what? We go watch movie and then, you know, shopping and having fun. Depends what kind of fun we have, okay? But certain things that people do, people wonder, is that really for God or just for doing our own things? And this is a serious matter. And we don't want to be a stumbling block to anybody. Okay. And we had to believe we had to do what we believed. Sabbath is one of our basic doctrine, basic belief. So there's many blessings God will give for keeping the Sabbath. Okay, and God will continue to help us to abide in his true church. Okay, so keeping Sabbath is quite important. So today we have mentioned the origin and also history of Sabbath. And we also talk about six reasons why we need to keep the Sabbath. Okay? Any questions? Oh, there are six reasons, on the sheet, right? I skipped it. It's on this one. I mentioned one extra one, but this, look at the on your sheet, B. It says a day of rest. Basically, Sabbath is a day for our physical body to rest, and also for our mind, you know, mentality, spiritual life to rest, okay, spiritually. And we need it too. This is a reason that we all know, because can you imagine if some people keep working for 7 days a week, 365 days a year? Okay? Somebody one time told me they work for a restaurant. They say that they work for like that, 365 days, or maybe one day off. And they work for like that for about many years, about 6 or 7 years. And he said to me, he said, at that time, he feel like he can die. He doesn't care about living, okay? There's nothing for me to live, okay? And so, really, people, if keep working like that, they will reach the point of exhaustion, not just physically, but mentally, spiritually. And they don't know why they want to live, okay? Yes? No questions? So we need a rest, okay? And we need to rest on the seventh day, okay?